Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
We're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Night Real Recovery. There's no place you'd rather be. So thank you very much for joining the program tonight. And we are hopefully going to talk in depth tonight about the need for making Christ the very center of your life. And we're going to talk about step two. And we've got a guest in the studio tonight that we're excited about having tonight. We're going to bring him on in a little bit. But, you know, you start because you're unhappy, so or you want to have a good time, so you take a drug or you do some God substitute. Right, George?
I believe so. It's not always a victim issue. A lot of us try to make our life better.
Right. You just want to do something that's fun. But then the drug use makes you a little more unhappy, and then you have to take the drug because you are unhappy, and then you are in a cycle of just disease and dysfunction, and your life centers on anything but God. And if you put your roots into anything other than Christ, you're going to have a lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
In life.
Absolutely.
George, you had some trouble in life, didn't you?
I still do, Bill.
Yeah, you were held back from fourth and fifth grade, and I think the only people that know would be the guy who was in charge of the permanent records at your grade school.
That and I wore a helmet in school.
You rode the little short bus, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I had some problems. I actually did get kicked out of high school, Bill.
And what was that for?
Lots of things. We don't have that long in the show. But,
okay.
You know, you nailed this. Whenever we try to get God substitutes to fill us, to make us happy, we're going to miss the mark. And on Real Recovery, what we're talking about, we hope that you don't have a drug or alcohol problem. But if you do, we hope you get into recovery. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, this is not about stopping a behavior. It's about developing a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right. Now, George, tell our listeners a little bit about step two, because you know, on the program, we try to have share a step a week from the 12 steps, and we apply them with Christian principles.
Absolutely.
For a victorious living.
That's what we want to do. And we did step one last week, which is where we admit we're powerless over drugs and alcohol, that our lives are unmanageable. And today we come to step two, which is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We come to believe. Now, Bill, I like to look at sanity as believing the truth and acting on the truth. So insanity would be believing a lie and acting on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if your God, your higher power, is anything other than Jesus Christ, you don't have the real highest power.
Right. So talk about self-deceit a little bit, George, because that has to be, you know, you said, you just talked about lying. And whenever you're involved in use of some kind, you're lying.
Well, our whole life becomes a lie.
Right.
And it starts with little lies like, this will make my life better. I deserve this. And then we get into no one will know. This really isn't that bad. A lot of therapists will tell you that you're in denial. And you can be, but I think it's diluted thinking, Bill. And I think the intro where you were talking about America, about the pill-popping culture, about the capitalism, about if I just get so much money, if I drive the right car, if I hang out with the right group of people, I'm going to be happy. That's delusion. That's not denial. That's delusion that these things will make us happy. We were created to serve the living God, and anything apart from that will not make us happy because we were not designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight our guest, when Greg comes on, has a very powerful witness, not only what his life was like before, but what happened and what he's doing now. And, Bill, we've had a lot of great guests on this program. That's been one of the real thrills of being here. And almost every one of them does service work with other people.
You know, George, I agree with everything you said. And
that would be a first.
Well, no, just in the last 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm not giving you carte blanche that I've agreed with everything you said.
I thought I had the green light today.
No.
Okay.
No. I actually think a lot of thoughts I don't say regarding you.
See, I don't. I have no unexpressed thoughts, and that's part of my problem. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, the simplicity of addiction and God substitutes, it runs so deep in our culture, down as far as smartphones. Come on. I'm addicted to my smartphone.
I turned mine off. Is yours on?
No, it's on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on. I'm texting Alex right now.
Text when I'm talking.
It doesn't matter. It's just like having a little computer in your hand. It's like I can never put it down for very long.
Okay. Well, at least you're talking about it. That was step one. Why don't you stuff?
I'm powerful to suffer it.
Well, we can be, can't we? And, you know, on a serious note, how many of us text when we're driving? Let's get real on that.
Okay.
I've made a point of not doing it anymore.
Good.
Because I can't see.
Right.
But, you know, little things like that. And it does get distracting.
I've knocked a few texts out at stoplights, but I understand that's against the law as well.
And you're a law-abiding guy.
I am a law-abiding. You know, I've never even had a speeding ticket in my life.
Seriously.
I'm serious.
I got a few you can have.
I don't really want any of yours.
Okay.
I don't want your crime records.
I don't either. It's been expunged.
Has it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Statute of limitations expunged.
You could get hired at any place?
Is there a background check?
Yeah, that has a background check. You could do it. You could pass.
Depends.
All right.
But in Christ's eyes, I'm clean.
But we are of such worth and value that Jesus was willing to die for us, and it's actually nothing less than the death of Jesus that will save us.
Oh, yeah, and you hit the nail on the head there, because it doesn't matter if we stop a behavior and we think we're doing really well. We still sin, and we have sinned, and we need forgiveness. And that only comes from one person, that's God, through Jesus Christ.
So tell me a little bit more about step two. I was getting to that, and then I got distracted. Let's get back on track. Tell me more about step two.
Well, I think...
Put your little reading glasses on.
I think...
Your old man reading glasses, and then tell me what it says in your notes.
So hurt.
Doesn't matter.
So hurt.
Doesn't matter.
I think we have to go to the Word always, and we look at Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Now, here's what happens if we have an addiction or a behavior problem that we're struggling with. At a certain point, we come to a moment of mental clarity where we realize that what we're doing is not working, it's not going to work, and we need God's help. And, Bill, that can only come from the Holy Spirit. A lot of people that have behavioral problems, drug problems, the state of Minnesota might want you to quit, your family might want you to quit, your boss might, but you don't want to. And all of a sudden, you get convicted that what you're doing is falling short of the mark. That's the first miracle of recovery, by the way, is really wanting to change your behavior. And a dead man doesn't know he's dead. That has to come from God.
Well, I agree. Now, George, when you talk about step two and you talk about making a decision to make God your higher power, it's more than just voting yes for God, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's about being obedient. You know, we read in the 14th chapter of John that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
I think that's it.
No, that's true.
You know, and the Holy Spirit will come to guide you into all truth. But we have to be obedient and not just go, well, I'm a Christian now. It's not a cosmic game show where, Alec, I want Jesus for 500, please, and I make the claim verbally, but my life doesn't go. If Jesus is going to be my Savior over my life, he has to be Lord over all areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, is how do we do that, Bill? You know, you're right. We both forgot. That's great. I love Jesus. I think it's great. But how do you walk this out every day? How do you have victory over your behavior?
Well, people want $6 worth of God. They want enough of him to help them out of a jam, but they don't really want him to run their life.
Absolutely.
They want a little bit of him because they want to have him on their resume, but they don't want their life transformed, and they don't want to completely exchange their life for his.
Well, we don't want to give up control. And it's amazing because none of us did a good job on our own. But we need to be obedient. I think it starts every day with being in the Word. We're going to talk about that tonight and hitting our knees. I have to pray for the desire to do God's will, Bill, because it's contrary to my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, George, in Romans 12:12, easy to remember, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Romans 12:12.
Also, here's 13. I'll throw that in too. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And I'll just say you're never welcome at my house.
I've never been there.
No, I know, and you're not welcome.
Okay.
So I'm trying to practice hospitality, so I'm going to work on that.
Someday
you might be.
I could come over tonight after the show.
No. Nope, that's not going to happen. Alex, you're free to come over.
Oh, he's been there. Alex has been over a lot. This is a tall order for us, Bill. But here's the deal. If we don't do this, if we're not going to take this step where we know that we're off base and there's only one way we can get back, we're not going to have any permanent change.
Right. Now, welcome to the show. If you've just joined us, we're glad you're on board tonight. If you want to call and be part of tonight's show, you can give us a buzz. If you have a question or a comment, that number is 1-877-933-2484. And I'll give you one more time, 1-877-933-2484. Give us a call if you'd like to be on tonight's program. We'd love to hear your story. Or if you'd like to share a part of your testimony, we'd love to hear it. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
1-2-3-1-2-3. Is my mic on? Me, Stevie. Stevie Wonder.
I like that.
Welcome to the program, Bill Arnold with George Fraser. You're listening to Real Recovery as we delve into Step 2 and our guest tonight. George, would you like to do honors?
Yeah, we are on Step 2 tonight, Bill, and that is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And where we're going to find that tonight with our guest Greg Lowry is he teaches a lot of Bible studies. He's a very active in his faith and his evangelism. But, Greg, we want to start back at the beginning. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, George and Bill. It's a blessing to be here.
Well, it's great that you're here. Growing up, did you grow up in a Christian household?
Well, you know, my parents would say that we were Christians, but we never went to church, never read a Bible, never opened a Bible, thought I was a good person. But amazingly, if I reflect back, you know, I realized there was always something missing in my life. Didn't know what it was.
Okay. So there's something missing. So you get into high school. What's your life like? Is it fairly normal?
It was probably abnormal like yours.
Okay.
I typically ran around with guys older than me, and it would be easy to say they corrupted me, but I think I was corrupted.
No. Okay, you're looking for a little excitement and fitting into a group.
Yeah, you know, I ran with a fast crowd. As I look back, I can see a number of times where God put people in my life. You know, I truly believe that God loves us so much, He'll use whatever means necessary to get our attention. And I can see where He tried and tried to get my attention, but I just didn't want it. You know, you've heard the phrase, you know, I was looking for God like a criminal. I was looking for a policeman, right? And life was too good. I thought things were making me happy, but inside, you know, there was emptiness, like a lot of people.
Were you doing some partying? Were you doing any drinking, any drugging in high school?
George, now you're getting into my business. Yeah, I ran pretty fast when I was in high school. And but again, you know, I'm a person that really understands God's grace because I didn't deserve it. And God kept putting people in my path, and I just kept rejecting it, kept rejecting it. Amazingly, there was a number of times when, you know, you hit a low spot or something. I remember trying to open the Bible and reading the Bible. It meant nothing to me. It was like reading a foreign language. And so, you know, I said, God, if you're out there, you know, why don't you talk to me?
Do you think, you know, looking back now in the rearview mirror, and it sounds like there were some people that came into your life, were there some seeds planted for later on, maybe, that you, so it wasn't a total loss one? Back then?
You know, as I look back, I could see seeds being planted, even some with my parents, but I just didn't appreciate it, didn't value it, you know. The fast life was too addicting and alluring.
Too fun.
Too fun.
Yeah.
I always think when we look back, Billy, that if I can remember that, and we all can remember some people that were God people, and we thought, gosh, they mean well, and I would love to be that way, but I just can't do it. I think if we can remember that, I think that seed was planted, because why else would you remember it? Is that fair?
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
You know, I look back, and I could see God's grace in my life. Just blinded. My heart was hard. My eyes were blinded at the time. You know, and amazingly, if someone would ask me if I was a Christian, I'd probably say yes, right? And I think a lot of people think they're a Christian, but they miss the mark. And, I run to people all the time, and they tell me they believe in God. And I say, well, you know, demons believe in God, so there's got to be something different than just believing, you know. And I think that, you know, it's miles apart, it's an ocean apart, than knowing God exists and knowing God personally.
George, nothing divides the room faster than the name Jesus. I mean, as it says in Acts 4:12, salvation is to be found in Him alone. In all the world, there's no other name by which you can be saved. So you can define yourself as a person who is a Christian, but you ask them if they're a follower of Jesus, and that changes the tone of the conversation pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, what I like to do when I meet people and they tell me they're Christian, I'll say, you know, that's wonderful. That's great. So am I. And I say, you know, people come up to me all the time and ask me, Greg, you know, how do I become a Christian? So what I do is I ask them, what would you do if someone came up and asked you, how do I become a Christian? And that's where the rubber meets the road. Either they come right down the pipe with it, you know, by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repentance of sin, or they go, you know, well, you read your Bible, you go to church, you try to do a good thing. And so it's an easy way to engage someone and find out where they are. And then from that point, you know, I'll tell them a little story in the Bible about a thief on the cross who didn't deserve salvation, but Jesus said, this day you'll be in paradise with me. And I'll ask him, well, what did he do? Obviously, he wasn't going to church. He wasn't tithing. He wasn't reading his Bible. But Jesus said, this very day you'll be in paradise with me. Doesn't seem fair. But he says, you read the text. He confesses that he's a sinner. He confesses Jesus is Lord. And he asks him to save you. See, Jesus makes it very easy for people to come in the kingdom. I think Christians make it hard for people. And, you know, then I'll turn around and ask people and say, Bill, have you ever personally asked Jesus, first of all, confess your sins, ask him to forgive you, and receive him as Lord and Savior. That moment, you know, the angels are singing in heaven.
I like that, Bill. That kind of narrows it down. I worry about that verse, get away from me, I never knew you. Is that troubling to you guys, too?
Yeah, very troubling. I like the idea that the thief on the cross, you know, was sitting there thinking, are you telling me there's someone that's holding out hope for me with hours to go after the life I've lived? The answer is yes. There's so many people that have a conflicted mind saying, I've had too much partying, too much life in the fast lane. I've made too many mistakes. I don't know if God would have me.
Now you've really done it.
Now you've really done it, yep.
We work with a lot of guys, Greg, and I know you do too, and that's a common factor. I was doing okay until this. And what you're telling us is that just isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the thief on the cross understood God's grace. I think Barabbas understood God's grace. He knew someone took his place, right? And so somewhere in your life, you have to come to a reality that there's just something missing. Knowing who God is isn't going to cut it. Do I know him personally? Do I have that personal relationship with him? And with my past, I understand that I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. It was all grace. And so because of that, I can never repay. I owe so much. I can never repay God's grace.
That is very true. I think what we need to do, if we're going to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, is we have to know what the truth is. And how do I find out what the truth is, Greg? Where do I get that information?
Well, you said it earlier. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he came so we could have life and have life more abundantly. And that's what people desperately need. They need life more abundantly. And the world's lying to them, whether it's smoking, whether it's food, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, that is not the abundant life. It starts out that way, but that becomes a very futile and empty life. And so, you know, it's God's word. You talked about a devotion every morning, coming to God's word. But before God's word can come alive, There's a big piece that's missing, and that is just like the thief on the cross. Until we come to a place where we understand that we're a sinner and that we're willing to confess our sins and repent of our sins, there is no relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the pains in my heart today, I think there's a lot of people walking around thinking they're going to heaven. They were in a church service or something, raised their hand, yes, I'll take Jesus. But there's no repentance. Down in the Salvation Armies, down in some of the Bible studies, you see people that are broken, they know they're a sinner. It's easy for them to come to Jesus and say, I've sinned, forgive me. But that's the first step, recognizing that I am a sinner. And Jesus said, those who are well do not need a physician. And so until we understand and know that I need the great physician, we can't go to the next step. I tried to read the Bible without Jesus. It doesn't work.
Foolishness. That's the foolishness.
But the day I received him, I opened the Bible, and it started to speak to me.
How did you go about receiving him? Tell us that story.
I don't know if you had that much time. I'll give you a quick version. when I was young, I double-dated and went to a movie called The Exorcist. I didn't know what The Exorcist was. And it was a lot of people there, and it was crazy. And
it's comedy, isn't it?
Yeah. And so I was compelled. I kept hearing these noises and screams. And I went and opened the door to the theater, and I passed out right there in the doorway. Never passed out in my entire life.
Where did you pass out from?
I have no idea. And so my friends helped me up. We left, and it kind of spooked me, but, you know, you try to buck up and be a man. And
did you didn't see the movie then?
No, I didn't see the movie.
Wow.
And it had bugged me for a couple of years. So I went back, and another couple, we double dated, and I felt if I went and saw the movie, I could get past this. That was really bothering me. And in the meantime, I was trying to read the Bible. I'm trying to figure this out. I found out what an exorcist was. But, oh, man. And so I was sitting in the theater, and the other three people, they went to the restaurant. I was sitting on this little bench by myself, and the movie was going, and this little old lady came out and sat on the bench next to me. She said, "It's an exciting evening. There's lots of witches and warlocks in here tonight." I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so she left. My friends came out. We walked into the theater. The movie's not even showing. As soon as I walked to the door, I passed out.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's getting to be a recurring theme.
Yeah. And
same
so,
girl? I mean, she didn't go back out with you the first one, did she?
Now you're in my business again.
Okay, sorry about that. Just curious.
And so I can only tell you that that really caused me to think and slow down. I had to sleep with the lights on. I went, you know, I was ready for life style change. But in time, it really didn't, but I was seeking like I'd never had before. And but I was still doing all the other things. And I remember one Sunday morning, I got up and I wanted to watch the pregame show to see, you know, all the highlights of the games and all of that. And I was in my apartment. I was making breakfast. And in the background, there was a preacher on TV. I don't even remember who he was. I have no idea. But I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to get done so the pregame show would come on. I'm making my breakfast. And as I was hearing sound bites, this preacher was talking to me. The next thing I know, we're standing in the middle of my living room, looking at the TV, and the preacher says, if I'm speaking to you today, I said, no kidding, Dick Dirksen, you're speaking right to me. It was eerie. And he said, if you're ready to leave your lifestyle and leave all the ways in the past and come to the personal relationship with Jesus, he goes, wherever you are, you might be in your living room. He says, get down to your knees and pray with me. I got on my knees and I prayed with prayed the prayer with him. And I won't tell you that the building shook or lightning or anything like that, but I can tell you after that experience, I had no desire to run with my knucklehead buddies. They thought I went crazy. They thought I went around the bed. I had no desire to do the things I was doing anymore. And I started reading the Bible and understanding it. And it took me on an adventure. I can tell you that life with Jesus is an adventure. It's not boring. All that other stuff is boring. But when the Bible starts to come alive for you and the Holy Spirit's working in you and you know that God is real, and I think that's what people are really hungry for. Is it true? Is it real? You know it's real. It's the most life-changing thing. And praise God to be able to taste the abundant life.
Absolutely. That's John 10:10. And I'm wondering for people out there listening, where would you have them start reading? Somebody's listening and says, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. Where would you start reading in the Bible, Greg?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
I thought so. Thank you.
And I think of...
I'll alert the media for you asked an interesting question.
It took a year and a half. So
yeah,
right,
anyway.
I would open, you know, if I was a brand... See, I've got a real heart for the Old Testament, but if I was a brand new believer, I would open the book of Matthew or the book of John to start reading.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Greg. You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Frazier. We're so glad you're on board tonight. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Well, everyone, welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold with George Frazier. We're just hearing the story of our in-studio guest, Greg, who was having a very adverse reaction to the movie The Exorcist when he was in a seeking mode. And George, I got to tell you, scary movies don't scare me. What scares me are commercials for toenail fungus. You know, like where they lift up the crusty yellow toenail like the hood of a Pontiac and usher all the little fungi guys in there. That's scary to me.
Now I could see where that would scare you.
Yeah, that stuff is scary to me.
How about when you slept with a light on? Do you have a nightlight in your bedroom?
Maybe.
Little one?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now you're getting into my business.
I'm getting into everybody's business. Fine.
You're getting into my business. I will take care of you.
I know
later.
Better than to do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't mess with me, George.
learned my lesson a long time ago with you, Bill Arnold.
And anyway, Greg is telling a very interesting testimony of new life in Christ. And when you last left off, you were going to start sharing with our audience the way in which you started growing in your faith.
Well, you know, I picked up a book. I think someone gave me a book, The Late Great Planet Earth, by Orson Welles.
Hal Lindsey,
thank you. And that had an impact on my life. So I read the sequel, Satan's Alive and Well on the Planet Earth. And so I started going to church and started reading the Bible. It started making sense to me. My beautiful wife, we weren't married at that time, Kathy. She was going to ride home by her boss, and he asked if he could share Jesus with her. And so in her driveway, when she got home, she received Jesus Christ.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so her friend started inviting her to this Bible study called Bible Study Fellowship International.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so her and some other friends of mine were involved in that, and they started encouraging me to go. And I put it off because I thought, no, I'm doing pretty good. I'm reading this, but you need that. But I remember one Monday night I went to BSF, and I remember praying and saying, God, if you'll reveal your word to me more, if I go here, I'll keep going. And I went to BSF for some 20-plus years and got a firm foundation in God's word. And from there, I started teaching Bible studies in churches in my home, got involved in other ministries, Freedom Works, post-prison ministry, got involved with Mike Pillar with Jesus Fellowship Church in the City, Salvation Army with George, leading a Bible study down there. So God's work became just paramount. I just can't get enough of it. So I would tell people that, you know, everybody's looking for happiness. They're looking for peace. They're looking for a relationship with God. It doesn't happen outside of God's word through the power of the Holy Spirit.
You know, Greg, those are some great points. And I think the insanity, guys, in step two that we have is we have a thing called contempt prior to investigation. George, come to a Bible study. Well, I know I won't like that. Why would I want to do that? Now, I've never done this before. But why would I want to do it? I got railroaded into going to BSF, too. And, you know, I was bound and determined, Bill, to not like this. There's no way I'm going to like it. I'm going to go once. I'm looking to rip everything about it, from the speaker to the singing to the guys that are there. And I was very disappointed because on the way home in the car, I thought, I can't wait to go back next week. We got to spend time with God if we're going to get to know God, right?
That's right. And even I've seen it down at Salvation Army. You know, we do an introduction class each week on the Bible study. And some guys are there, and they're very reluctant. They don't want to do the Bible study. And I had one gentleman who just wouldn't pay attention as I was introducing him to the program. So I just walked over and asked him, you know, what was the problem? And he said he was already studying Eastern religions, and that's what he was into. And I said, so what you're really doing is you're searching for the truth. And he goes, that's right. And I said, maybe that's why God has you down here. For the next 33 weeks, we're going to study Eastern religions called the Bible. And the amazing thing, we watch guys down there, lives transform. I don't know if I ever told you, George, by the end of the year, I ran into him and I asked him how it was going. And he got involved in a local church. He was doing reading his Bible, just life changing. Nothing changes lives like, the salvation of Jesus Christ and his word. They go hand in hand. The more you read it, the more God speaks to you. You know, people ask me all the time, Greg, does God speak to you? And I tell them, yes, does he speak to you? And they go, no, I pray and pray, he doesn't speak to me. Well, you know what? I tell them, you know, when you're listening to sports radio or you're watching games, you can be doing a lot of things. Those aren't wrong. That's not what God's going to meet you. God says, if you seek me with your heart, you'll find me. You open up the Bible, you pray, God, speak to me. God will speak to you. I promise you he will.
Craig, I can remember back early BSF, maybe the third or fourth time or there. There's 400 guys in there, Bill, and we stood up and we sang a hymn. And The music stopped playing, so it was just the voices. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And it was like I felt God's presence.
That's attractive.
Thank you. And you're gonna get experiences like that. That I think of Proverbs 27:17, just as iron sharpens iron, so one man another. One of the things you're talking about is seeing God work in another person. And you can't always see it in yourself, but you can, and you become close with these guys in your group. But you can't do that if you're at home watching TV and you're not in the Word, right?
That's right. And I think I get back to where a statement I made earlier. I think God loves each of us so much, He'll use whatever means possible to get our attention. He did that in my life. Some people out there tonight are either maybe they're addicted to drugs or alcohol or sex or tobacco, whatever it is. Sometimes some of those things are the very things that God will use to get your attention to show you that this is what life is like without me. But if you would open your eyes and your heart, you know, Psalm 37 talks about if you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desire of your heart. Most people don't have a clue what the desire of their heart is. You know, they think their desire is a new car or their team winning or whatever. But God will show you what the desire of your heart is, and He'll give it to you. But you have to seek Him first with your heart in His Word, and it's an amazing thing. So I'd encourage anyone out there to look at Psalm 37, and it's a promise, and ask God to make it real for you. If you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desire of your heart.
What is the desire of your heart?
The desire of my heart, as I sit here tonight, is I don't know if we have tomorrow. I think time is running out. My desire is that it's in plumb with God's desire. God wishes none to perish. I don't want to see anyone not have eternal life. So the heartbeat of my heart is that time is short. There's a lot of people out there that aren't saved. There are a lot of people out there that think they're saved and aren't, but that they would enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So how do you fit into that, what you just said? How does that affect your life?
It affects my life when, you know, the rabbi thought that coincidence wasn't a kosher word. So I don't think anything's a coincidence. So when God brings people in and out of my life, I think there's a reason there. And part of it, which you talked about the hair stand on the back of your neck, what makes the hair stand on the back of my neck is when I think about what the Bible says, judgment begins with God's house. The moment we die, we're going to give an account of our whole life. You know, Romans 4, Matthew, Jesus said you'll give account of every word, every deed. You'll go on the judgment seat, and everything that you've done will be tested by fire. Only what remains will go into heaven with you. So when I get there, I want a very small fire. I don't want it to burn a long time. What I tell people, if we know we're going to give an account of every word, every deed, rather than live my life going towards that day, why don't I live my life from that day backwards? You know, once I get there, I can't do anything about it. But I have today and maybe tomorrow to make a difference in someone's life. And the day that I give an account, I want to hear good and faithful service.
Every word. I've got a friend named Dick Barrett who doesn't say much. And I asked him one time, Dick, you don't talk a whole lot. He said, the Bible tells me that I'm accountable for every word I'm going to say. And the only way I can do a good job on that is not say much. And I don't think a lot, but well, that's pretty obvious.
You should teach some of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. I teed that up.
Yeah,
but,
you really did.
But what you're talking about with the, this is real. You know, this isn't some fairy tale we're in. And people, if they don't know the Lord, are going to spend eternity in hell. And there is going to be a big fire in my life. What can we do about that?
Quit holding all the questions. Seriously,
okay.
You asked like five in a row.
Bill, do you have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Let's go to Bill for our next question, Greg.
Okay.
Let's go for Bill for 300. Greg, and I'm curious about the C.S. Lewis quote that says, don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people are fairly obsessed about the things of this world, mm-hmm. and you have a very eternal perspective. What is your strategy for having conversations with people who are religious.
Well,
might be religious, but not saved.
No, I have people, Bill, every once in a while say, well, Greg, you know, they're kind of saying the byword. Oh, Greg, I know you're religious, right? And I say, well, I hate religion. They're surprised by that. And I go, well, religion, to me, is like fig leaves. When Adam and Eve sinned, they put those fig leaves on it. And, you know, God was looking for Adam in the coolness of the day. And he says, Adam, where are you? And I think what fig leaves are ways that we try to make ourselves acceptable to God. That's religion. It's man-made ways of covering ourselves and say, God, I'm good enough now. And it doesn't work. God said, you know, an animal had to die. He gave them those animal skins to put on. I think about that and I kind of laugh because he might have gone, ooh, I'm not wearing that. That probably would have started over, you know. But they had to take those fig leaves off and put on the blood covering to be saved. So it's not religion. It's a relationship that saves us, you know. I think religion is some of Satan's best work. There's lots of religions out there, a lot of distractions, but it's not a relationship with Christ.
I like that.
That was very good. Well, that was a great question.
It was a good question.
The five and the four that weren't that good.
It seems that a lot of religions show you what it takes to get close to God, and Christianity shows us what God had to do to get close to us.
That's true, and I think a lot of religions show you, talk about what you must do for to get close to God.
Right.
And God shows us in Romans 5:8 what he did to get close to us.
And it's almost counterintuitive to tell people that God is actually pursuing you.
That's right.
Because we always think, well, we need to join some religious organization and start pursuing him.
It's too good to believe. Really.
It really is too good to believe.
You know, I think one of the things, Bill, that Christianity does different than other religions, it's not taking bad people and making them good, it's taking dead people and making them alive, and that's a huge difference because Jesus is still alive.
Mm-hmm. And Revelation 3:19, I'd say it in Greek, but I know
it go right by me.
You go right by you, so I'll just say it in English. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. So he is pursuing us, and what a gentleman, he sits and knocks and waits for us to open the door, and that, I don't know how long that knocking will last for some, but if you're hearing it tonight, and it's in your heart, and you hear the knock, it's time to open the door.
Amen. Absolutely.
Greg has a real gift, I think, Bill, of the urgency of what we're doing and what our life is. And you've brought that into my life with your ministry of community Bible study down at the Salvation Army. Well, we had lunch the other day, and it was a real shot in the arm for me in that sometimes, Billy, I coast a little bit. I get comfortable. I think, you know, I've done enough for a while, and I want to have some George time. And there is no George time. It's all Jesus time now, sir.
That's true. And I look at, you know, when people talk to me about different things, you know, what is the definition of love? What does love really mean? And to me, love means not letting or allowing and doing everything you can that someone doesn't go to hell eternally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll run to people, and I'll say, you know, is your mom saved? I'm not sure. Well, do you love your mom? Is your brother saved? I'm not sure. Do you love your brother? You know, I think for us, we have to look at each day and say, you know, Jesus told us to love our neighbors. Everyone who's a Christian is our brother and sister. Our neighbor is everybody else. He says, love your neighbor. And I wish that everybody had the passion to say, I don't want to see anyone go to hell. Anyone.
George, we should never live next to each other.
We don't.
I know, and we never should.
I like that.
Yeah. We're going to take a very short break.
I like that. Yeah.
You're listening to Real Recovery with Bill Arnold and George Fraser on Faith Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery. You're listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Welcome back to Real Recovery. There's the chairman. Chairman of the board there, George.
Yes.
Frankie. So anyway, we don't really have Christianity without sin, do we? It's at the center of Christianity, and most of us think we'd just be happier if we were free to live as we pleased. That's what we think. Sin pretty much convinces the mind that you would be happier free from God and away from God. And the truth is you're only ultimately happier in God.
Well, I think there comes a point, too, Bill, where we realize the only way we're going to overcome our dependency or our addiction or our way of life is with a power greater than ourselves, and the only true power greater than ourselves that can forgive us of sins and renew us and redeem us is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it does flow into that. I think the idea that comes into our head that this isn't working and I need to do something else, that doesn't come from us because we'll try something else. You know, we'll try this. Maybe we'll only drink wine. Maybe we'll only drink on the weekends. Maybe we'll, you know, be nice to people. Maybe we'll go to church and sit there and not get involved. But none of that works. And then the idea comes to us, Greg, that, hey, there is a way out. I am the way. And as Bill said earlier out of Revelations, I stand at the door and knock. And all of a sudden you can hear that. And we've worked with a lot of guys over the years. The miracle is that anybody gets this because we're so lost in our sin. And that proves to me that there really is a God that cares for us.
Yes. And like Bill said, he's pursuing us. Something that Bob Johnson told me a long time ago, I never forgot. And maybe this is helpful to people out there that are looking, you know, which way to turn or what the next step is for them. But Bob told me once, he said, every step you take, every choice you make will either bring you closer to God or further away. There's a lot of people that are stepping away from God and making choices away from God. But that can change tonight. Every step you take, every choice you make, will either bring you closer or further away from God. And I just pray that people will take a step tonight closer to God.
I love that. In Scripture it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And heart, I know this for, in the Greek, is the word kardia, which means love God with the decisions you make. And you can make different decisions starting tonight.
What a Greek tonight, Bill.
Well, I'm a big theologian in Greek.
It's kind of your hobby, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Bill, that same thing. How do you love God with your mind? By reading His Word. You know,
putting truth in your mind.
That's right. We fill our minds with a lot of different things, but if you're going to love Him with all your heart and all your mind, fill your mind with God's Word.
Well, and you talked about God bringing people into your life, like Bob Johnson. I remember one of the first times I talked to Bill, he said, George, why don't you ever talk about a quest for holiness, and where is that in your life? And I was like, excuse me? It was like God spoke to me through Bill Arnold. So that's, you know, it helped my life a lot, Bill.
Well, don't look at me. I don't have credit for your life.
Well, no, I don't either. I'm trying to blame somebody. How do people get into this? How can we get some people out there listening? We want to get them into a Bible study. We're going to put that on our website. What about going to church and stuff, Greg? How do they get started?
Well, I think the first thing, you know, is make a decision for Jesus Christ tonight. You know, just without, you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. So the first thing is to repent of our sin. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness.
What's repentance mean?
Just confessing to Jesus that you're a sinner. We all know that we're sinners. Just turn to Jesus, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And ask for forgiveness. And ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Confess that He's your Lord and Savior, that He is the true Son of God. And ask Him to come in your heart and save you. And then ask Him to direct your steps, and He will. He's more than faithful. But in town, there's a lot of places where you can go. If you don't have a Bible, there's places that will give you a Bible. We gave Bibles out at Salvation Army. We have a Bible study down there on Monday nights. Freedom Works is a post-prison ministry that I've been involved in. They've got a banquet this Thursday, 7 o'clock. I can't remember the name of the church in Maple Grove.
Lord of Life.
Thank you. A great place to come and learn about it. Jesus Church in the City, Jesus Fellowship Church in the City. Pastor Mike Pilla, reaching out to a lot of broken people, saving lives, leading people to Christ. Right at 28th in Bloomington. There's
so
a lot of places.
There are people out there, and what you need to do is take an action step. I want to talk a little bit about repentance. You know, because you hear that a lot. What exactly does that mean?
Repentance means to change direction. You know, we go our own way in life, you know, and it feels good, so we do it, and you know, it leads us to dark places. To repent means, it's just like when, you know, Jesus came to the disciples. He said, you come follow me, and he walked away. You have to make a decision. You're going to follow Jesus or do it your own way. So repentance is just a 360-degree turn. It's saying, I'm going to leave the old life and go to the new life. Jesus, save me, help me.
A lot of people want a new life, too.
They do.
They're desperate for a new life. They just don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's help out there.
Help? Well, he just explained it.
Yeah, there is help out there.
McFly, are you listening?
I'm listening. What you got to do right away is you got to go to God. That's step one.
And just ask for forgiveness. Everybody knows that there is sin. We're all sin.
Or pray for the need to understand your need to be forgiven. I mean, even back up a little further. Some people go, why am I a sinner?
Good point.
I don't get this I'm a sinner thing. You know, you need to understand that you have a need first. Is that right?
I agree with you. Wow. I want to rethink that one. And on the Bible study, community Bible study, we're going to put that on our web because we are in 8 different cities on this show, and they can look at that and find a reference to get to a Bible study. Bill, I think being in the Word's so important. You just can't do this alone, and you know what? You're probably not going to want to do it alone without the encouragement of other believers and being in the Word. It's a double-edged sword that sharpens you down.
Right. And, George, you could say CBS or a Bible study fellowship or Bible study in your church. There's, you know, we're blessed. There are more Bible teachers on the radio today. There's more Bible studies available than there ever have been. There's more people professing to be Christians than there ever have been, and there are more illiterate so-called Christians than there ever have been. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, you can always listen to this station, and if you are listening now, you do, and there are some great teachers on the station, aren't there, Bill?
They're some of the best.
You know?
That's where it's one of the most precious gifts that we have.
I always encourage people to go to church, too, because I get a lot out of the worshiping every week, and I know you will, too, and it's just fun to be around other believers. I can always look forward to coming to this show tonight to see you, Bill.
I just feel like my lunch is coming up right
now.
Throw
something at me.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me, George.
But, Greg, we need to do this every day, don't we? We need to have an active walk. It's not a passive thought in my head. Well, I thought about it. I read it off the wall. Now it's going to happen.
You know, we all live busy lives. We get up in the morning, and we have routines, and we get going with our day. You know, I encourage everybody, get up tomorrow and decide to give your best to God. Get up, find a Bible, open up Proverbs, read a Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs, one every day. Say, God, speak to me. If you give God your best, your first, every day, I promise you, he will speak to you. Read a psalm every day. Read a proverb. But give God your best, not your leftovers, not your maybes, not your I'm gonna. Get up tomorrow. Make your first appointment with God and see what happens.
I've got to get active in this. A rule of thumb that I always tell people in recovery from addiction, Bill, is you need to spend at least as much time in your recovery as you did in your addiction.
I like that. That's really true.
Well, it is true, and you know, when we don't arrive at this thing. Our lunch last week, I talked to Bill after we had lunch, Craig, with Al, and I said, you know, it really charged me up. We talked about the poor. We talked about people going to hell, and I've gotten into a point in my life where I've gotten a little comfortable, and we can never get that way, and I like your heart for the lost, and that's what this program is about, is the redemptive power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, Jesus will heal what's in us, and he'll heal what's between us. So if you have something that you need healing, spiritual, emotional, physical healing, God will touch your life in that way. And if you have a relationship that's in the tank and you need redemption from that, I think God will heal what's between two people as well. And that life can start tonight. And I think there's a sense of urgency that you bring to the show tonight, Greg, and that you're reminding all of us. That there is a sense of urgency that we have today with hope for tomorrow.
Absolutely. And God, you know, if you take one step, God will take 2, 3, 4, 5 towards you.
If there was 1,000 step difference between two people, he would take 999. All you have to do is take one.
Now, Bill and George, if someone's searching or looking for a place to go or Bible study, can they call or email the station and will you guys point them to a resource?
Sure.
Oh, here's an awkward moment.
You call Bill and,
yeah.
Of course we can.
Yeah, we'll put George's home phone number up on the web and you can just call him at home.
Well, there's one call you don't need to make. If you can get on your knees, you can go to the throne. You don't need the phone, right? And, that's where we start. And we do have great resources here. What is it, Bill? MyFaithRadio.com?
.com, yep. You can get all kinds of resources on that. George, that kind of wraps up our program for tonight. That's been a lot of fun.
That's great. Thanks.
To have Greg in studio tonight and to be reminded of the sense of urgency we have to make right with God, to reconcile, to repent. Repent's a big word.
Turn around.
Sin's a big word. We don't like that word anymore. It makes us feel bad. But Christ came to forgive us of our sins and give us new life if we receive him as our Savior. That, my friends, is what is the desire of all of our hearts tonight. And if that's where you are at and you need that, please make that decision tonight. It'll be the best one you will ever make. That wraps up for tonight. Thank you very much for listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold with George Frazier. We'll see you next week.
We hope.
You've been listening to an encore presentation of Real Recovery.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at MyFaithRadio.com.